Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bynum, and we are broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., the New Africa Business Association. And this is the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you this evening, and we welcome all of our guests who are trying to call in, those of you who are trying to make connections. We're going to give you enough time before we get started with tonight's show. But for those of you who are trying to call in and make connections, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. That is 657-383-1372. And for those of you who are trying to come in on the internet, it would be blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. And that's for the internet, it would be blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. And that should have you connected with our station. Our topic this evening, just during this Black History Month, is enslavement of your soul. It was a coup bar that was given by our Imam here in Washington, D.C., Imam Talib Sharif. And from hearing his coup bar, it inspired the New Africa Business Association and the radio station to broadcast that coup bar, because I think at the during Black History Month is very appropriate. His coup bar and his message to the community and to the nation was extremely important. And so tonight, for those of you who wasn't blessed to hear his coup bar, we're going to play it tonight on the Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. So again, we're going to go ahead and get started, and you can call in. Everyone have the call-in number, and you have the internet information. So welcome to the show, and we're going to start hearing comments from Imam Talib Sharif. And we'll then come back after we hear most of his comments. We will come back and we'll make some comments about his presentation. We'll make our personal comments, and we'll be able to accept your comments. But right now, we're going to switch over to a recording of the enslavement of your soul, and Imam Talib Sharif.
Muhammad Abduhu. ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين بعد. Again, we always begin with Allah's name, and we say without hesitation, without reservation, or without embarrassment, we witness that there is only one God, one Creator, and He is greater. We say Allahu Akbar, He is greater, and we give all praise, complete and perfect praise and thanks to Him, Almighty God Allah, and we witness that He is alone, one and alone, in His rule over the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of everything. And He made man, or humanity also, to be creators. He says in the Quran, Tabarakallah, ahsanul khaliqin. Blessed be Allah, the best to create. And it's khaliqin in plural. He's the best of those that create. And so that tells us He expects for us, intent for us as human beings, to create to be creators too, knowing that he is the best of creators, just like everything else of his attributes. He is the most merciful. We're expected to be merciful. All those attributes, we're expected to exemplify those things. So if he says he's the best of creators, that means we should be creating things. And we see it with our children. They create things, and we see it, and we approve of those things, and we encourage them to continue to be productive and to build. And this is what Allah wants us to do. So we witness to this. We witness to that this is Allah to Allah, and we witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, the prayers and the peace be upon him. He is the last. He is the seal, the Khatam al-Nabiyin of the prophets given in the Quran. And we know that Allah says of him, الَّذِي يَتَبِعُونَ رَسُولَ نَبِيِّنَ أُمِّيِّنَ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَ مَكْتُوبًا عَنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمْ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيَدْعُو عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَاهُمْ والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وأصروه ونصروه وتبع النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. So Allah says, those who they follow Rasul and Nabiina Umina, the unlettered prophet, the unlettered messenger, unlettered, Umi, Al-Ladhi, whom you find written, mentioned in the previous scriptures. And it specifically says the Torah and the Injil, the Torah and the Gospel. And he said that he commands them to do what is good and forbids them to do what is not good. And he permits them to do what is lawful. Good and pure, lawful, good and pure, and what is unlawful, not good and pure. He said he is the one who has come as a liberator, who liberates from, he releases from the burden, the heavy burdens from the yokes that are upon them, that's on their necks. This is what Allah says on them. He is coming to break all the bonds of slavery, all forms of slavery, and especially we're speaking about moral slavery, mental slavery, for we know that when he came to the Arab people, they were not in physical chains, they were not in physical slavery. So he came to relieve these things, and this is really speaking about the world of sin, the world of wickedness, everything that enslaved the mind, he came to free us from it. And the best key for unlocking the locks of slavery is correct education. Correct education. So often, again, we think of slavery in the physical sense. That really comes to our mind immediately. But Allah wants us to know in these verses, really, he's telling us that the worst form of slavery is not slavery of the physical body. The worst form of enslavement is enslavement of your soul. Your soul. When you don't have your soul free for yourself, free from the slavery of oppression, this is the worst form of slavery. And Allah said, we'll be successful if we free it. We won't be successful if it's oppressed. We won't be successful. And again, this is speaking about the oppression of human beings by corruption. It's rampant. We see it all around us. And these, again, these are the forces of Satan, whom we call Shaitan. And Allah speaks, he says, yeah, ayyuhal ladhina aminu, ku anfusikum wa ahlikum narin. He gets the attention. Yeah, ayyuhal ladhina. He gets the attention of those who have faith, of those who believe. And he says, ku, shield. Protect, save yourself and push your soul, save your soul and your families from the fire. And we know this comes in Surah 66, Ayah 6, three sixes. Six, because we know we understood 666 in Revelations and others to be the sign of the beast. So Allah is telling us this is how we save ourselves. We have to tame the beast. We have to tame the beast. We won't save ourselves. We won't save our family if we don't tame the beast. And we know that our mind, our heart, can be enslaved by Satan. That's what it goes after. That's why I say he whispers into the chest, the breast. This is what he whispers into that. You see, he's the enemy of all human beings. We want to make it clear. Satan is not an enemy to Allah. Allah don't have no enemies. He's a saint to human beings. And Allah makes it very clear in the Quran. He's a servant too. He calls Allah Lord like we do. He asks, my Lord, give me some time. He said, oh, my Lord, give me some time. You know, I'm going to show you. I'll let you see. They're not going to be grateful to the role you gave them. That's how he responded. Called Allah his Lord. So he's not a contender. He's not a contender with Allah. He's the enemy of the human family. He makes that very clear when he starts out. And Allah says, fight the schemes. Fight the schemes of Satan. His plots. His deceitful tricks. You know, and he put those out to defeat you. Defeat you, defeat me in our purposes. In your purpose. You know, and we all have to have purpose. We all have been given purpose. That's why Allah gave, he didn't give us it without. He said nothing that he caused to come about without purpose. So everything has purpose. And everybody's trying to find purpose, looking for purpose. Some found it in the wrong places. They're looking outside to find, looking in to find what Allah put in them. So he want to defeat you in your purposes, in your best life, and also in your best hopes for your life. This is what he wants to defeat you. This is what Satan is against right now. So he's out to defeat you right there. Right there in that place, that very sacred place, really, that Allah have given you. And he wants you to be seen to be ridiculous. And we see a lot of people that are really ridiculous. And we know the ones who he loves to and wants to bring down and make look ridiculous more than anything are religious people. Because those who are not religious, he don't have to worry about them. You know, but those are the ones right there in those spaces, those who are coming from scripture, who say they're upon scripture. These are the ones you want to come down. And we know that Satan, he had a plan to defeat Christians. He had a plan to defeat Jews in their most sacred beliefs. And we can see how things have unfolded in their most sacred places. And we can also admit that Satan also had a plan to defeat Muslims in their most sacred beliefs and sacred places. And we have to say he's been successful. He's been successful. When we look at the world, I mean, most of us, we look at what is projected as coming from, quote unquote, the Islamic world. Majority of the Muslims in America that were born here and came into Islam here would not be Muslim today if we had to look at that model. Yeah. So he's been successful. He has discredited religion. He has brought religion to be a ridiculous thing in the minds of most decent people and most intelligent people. They look at stuff like that, they don't want none of that. And we see the kind of stuff happening with the church. And then the others, right now, they're looking at it. They just can't believe that religious people got behind an open enemy to human beings. A person that has lied more than any other president recorded in the history. And religious people, it's ridiculous. And people that don't want to have no part of that. And he starts with things that are close to us, very close to us, you know, and that are also detrimental and destructive to human lives. And we've seen it, we've been a part of it, but we forget that these things are from Satan. They're from the schemes of Satan. They're from the schemes and plans of Satan against the life of the human beings. And Allah says, yeah, ayyuhalladhina amanu. Again, he's speaking to those, he's speaking to your faith, speaking to your belief. That's what he's going after. Say, verily, surely, khamr wa maysir. Come, intoxicants, gambling, games of superstition. All this. He said, these are corruptions. These are things that are saying you to oppress you. These are the works of Satan. Amal al-Shaytan. These are the works of Satan. He says, stay away from these things. Avoid these things. And we know, as Muslims, we don't drink. We don't take intoxicants. You know, and if we know the Arabic word, the Arabic word comma, that we say a comma, you hear comma is the same word that khimar, that sisters wear. They wear a khimar. Okay, so that tells you that word doesn't say liquid. It doesn't say solid. The word is saying intoxication. This is what the word is speaking to. Whatever will intoxicate your mind, cloud your thinking. And we know how this happened in Islam. You know, when the believers were invited to Islam, they were not told immediately to stop drinking, you know, because it was the custom of the people. Isn't that something? Now we look at how wonderful Allah is in correcting us in his ways, you know. He's not like we are. He's not like we are. You know, right away, you know, we see somebody doing something wrong, we want to tell them about what the law is. We haven't even educated them. And we jump on. We had a brother one time come, he was just learning prayer, and somebody got on him about something. He said, "Brother, I just learned how to pray." That remind him. You bring all the other stuff on me. And so Allah shows, he's teaching us too. He's teaching us. He's showing us how to be. You see? So we can't jump on people. We haven't educated. We haven't even made them aware of the trouble that made necessary for the law. That's education, right? That's what Jumu'ah is, education. We're supposed to educate people. And that's what Allah has been doing. Allah, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful God. He loves his human creation. He loves the human being, the one that he created and endowed and gave so much. So he first wants to condition you to understand the problem. That's what the progression shows us when Allah brought it about on this intoxicants. He wants you to understand the problem. And once you understand the problem, then he brings you to the prohibition, to the law. He don't just drop the law on you. He looks at things gradually. This is Allah. He's teaching us. And we know Muslims will come into prayer, intoxicated. I know sometimes if we don't know the history, that will baffle us. Coming to prayer intoxicated, you know, it was influence of alcohol, or influence of some other drug, you know. And I know sometimes we don't think of reefer as some think of reefer as new, marijuana, joint, that kind of thing, you know. But people have been smoking weeds and stuff like that for a long time. They may have called it different things. Even longer than the Indians, we look at them and see what they were doing. But even longer than that, they were doing it. But again, they called it different names. The Arabic word is like hashish or something like that. But it's been around. It's been around for some time. And then we know there's another ayah came, another verse came, and then finally the Prophet Muhammad, after he had taught them and educated them and got them into another mind. You see, that's the key. You got to get them out of that mind. Gradually, you don't just try to. You don't force it. You don't push it. You gradually. Allah, he does things in stages. See, he got them into another mind, then Allah revealed, and then he told them that intoxicants are the works of Satan. Amal al-Shaytan, the works of Satan, works of the devil, and stay away from them. Ajtanibu. Stay away from them. Avoid those things. Avoid those things. So it didn't come at once. They had to teach us. We deal with each other too. To be merciful with each other. Be compassionate with each other. Allah, he's the creator, teaching us himself. This is himself teaching us through his guidance. Isn't this beautiful? This is wonderful how he shows us how we should be. So the first order, don't come to prayer intoxicated. And then the second one, say it may be some benefit in it, but the harm outweighs the benefit. And then, of course, then this third one comes and it says it's the work of Satan, stay away from it. And then it was prohibited. And it was the same with gambling, not just with intoxicants. Same thing with gambling, you know. And we look at how the world gambles now. I know some Muslims are listening and they say, "Ma'am, you're hitting me. You know, I know, and some of them, they be hoping they get the lottery with the kind, they don't have to identify themselves. So they say who they are. No, but this is a big problem now. It's so popular, very popular, it's gambling. Lotteries and tickets and all these kind of things. And, you know, we have many that be involved in these things. But these are things, this is what Satan does. He put these things in your way. Put them in our way, you know. And we know even in this previous scripture, it said the Bible we're speaking about, that Allah speaks, say the prophet is mentioned in. A person who gambles is described as a bad person or a weak person. Now, that's in the scripture. If you study, you'll find that. In the Bible, it says that. And you find Christians are the main ones doing a whole lot of gambling and lotteries and those kinds of things, you know. But it's right there. And also says in the same book also, the person who drinks, this is also in the book, is described as a weak person and as trouble for the society. That's said in the previous scripture. You see? So where the Bible doesn't condemn it outright, like the Quran does, the Quran makes it very clear in terms of its condemning it, you would see that drunks are among the sinners. Drunks are among the sinners. The people who have fallen from the way, they fall into the Darlene. That's also, you use Darlene when you say that. That's where they fall into that, you know, that they lose your way. And again, we looking at this and studying the scripture does say that the Bible says take a little bit for your stomach's sake. Take a little bit for your stomach's sake. And as we look at the time back then, you know, that was talking about the practice of people in those days who were using it for certain remedies and cures and those kinds of things. You see, and that's how you, the wisdom of Allah in the second ayah, he said, it's some benefit in it, but the harm outweighs the benefit. You see? So that lets us know. So this that second one actually shows that, you know, actually certain prescriptions, we know even here in America, certain prescriptions, certain remedies, those kind of things have a little alcohol content in them. And also, alcohol is also used for cleaning and different kinds of things, hygiene. I'll be talking about medical purposes, you know, for it. But that don't mean take it or consume it. That's not what it means. You know, and so a lot of us listening, we know we live here in America, and it's not a country that imposes laws upon the private life. It really doesn't do that. Some countries they do, but it does impose laws on the public life, and we see that very, very clearly. So you can drink, but if you drink and drive, of course, the other thing has to be if you get caught, right? You drink and drive, you get caught, then of course, then you're gonna have some trouble with the law if you get caught. Same thing about gambling. If you gamble without a permit and you get caught, well, then, of course, then that's going to mean the same thing, that you're going to have some trouble with the law. So it shows us that there are some controls. You know, it's not Islamic, but society still is telling us that these things are harmful because we look at how the laws are, you know. And if it's not controlled, then the whole country, the whole people going to be brought down because of these things. So they put some controls on these things. And again, that's because, again, what scripture says, these things are going to cause trouble for society. They are admitting that by doing this. And we look at again, just some of the things. The other thing, cigarettes. You know, we know a lot of Muslims are smoking. And they find ways to try to justify that. But look how cigarettes have troubled the society. You have now that they have discovered that they are cancer causing. Long time ago they've caused that. Now, they've been doing so many studies. But not only cigarettes. Liquors too, and we know they're heavily in our communities, also can cause cancer. And this is what we one of the reasons why we're saying these things, because we want this to get to our people as well. And they can destroy your organs. And they destroy your organs. They you know, but no one's trying to control liquor, you know, like they control the cigarettes. They got heavy controls on cigarettes, but liquor is not the same. So, but if we look at the world. You know, we see these things and we study these things. We look at what Allah is saying to us. We have to see that these are the schemes of Satan, you know, to make people intoxicated with things. This alcoholism. They got programs now on opioid disuse or all these different things right now. All these things that Satan put in the way, the sale of all kind of drugs, you know, even prescription drugs. People are selling those things now. All kinds of stuff. All these things have been identified as the schemes of Satan because Allah said these are his works. Amilah Shaitan. These are the works of Satan, these intoxicants. And also the promotion, other things, you know, the promotion of free sex. This is the scheme of Satan. Free sex in society, you know. And they try to make you believe that you can do what you want because it's your body and it's your own business. And you don't have to answer to anybody. This is the kind of thing they put out there. And it's happening all across the world now. Even in Muslim countries, you'd be surprised. In Muslim countries, you know, this is an issue there, you know. So Allah wants to look at all these things. Wants to look at all this stuff. And these are just some of the things. There are many more things we can begin to go in terms of these things that Satan put in your way to distract your mind, to occupy your thinking, occupy your mind, so you can't have remembrance of Allah. And when you remember Allah, then you focus on your creative potential. And the life that he gave you. And this is all about. And all these things, why are these things are schemes of Satan? These things are schemes of Satan because Satan wants to take apart what Allah says should be together. You know, Allah wants to bring together those things that should be together. And the major things that Allah wants to bring together is the family. Husband, wife. And look at the things they have called in family. These same things we're speaking about. You know, Allah created the family to be together and to stay together. But he wants to break up families. And we know that really that this scheme of breaking up the family, all the other schemes that we speak about and the ones that we haven't mentioned yet, all those other schemes, they all come under this one scheme. And it can be revealed in this whole thing to break up that which should be together. And it also crosses racial lines. It crosses ethnic lines. It crosses national lines, you know, to get us tied up so we won't embrace our shared humanity and our common life. That's the human family, the bigger family, starting with the divide the unit, to separate that unit, the most important unit in society, the oldest institution in society, the family, which all the other ones come upon. So that's the main objective of Satan, to break up the family. And then to have you not wanting family. You got people now don't want family. That it used to be that would be the thing. That's what mating was coming together. Forget your mate so we can begin to start a family. And that's not the interest anymore. Satan got people not, they're thinking selfish now because I got to continue to progress my career. I got to continue to progress my profession. You know, I don't have time for that. Baby later. And baby never comes because they're forgetting the purpose of what Allah said when he bring you together. He brings two souls together to produce a soul that doesn't exist in them alone so it can continue to progress life. Life can't progress if you don't bring people together. That's what Satan, he knows that if you can come together but not come together. That's what he wants to do to families. Distract our minds, distract our attention. So these are the main things. Allah said, avoid these schemes. So he didn't tell us to go after Satan. He didn't say go after Satan. No. That's not the way to find him. You can't find him there because he said he brought you from a place where you can't see him, him and his dupes. It says that him and his dupes, Shaitan and the Shayateen, they watch you from where you can't see them. So why are you going to go after him? No, he don't have a sharp nose or white skin. You know, the blue eyes, as some would say, you know, he manifests in them. We see that in others too. You know, he's not red skinned as some grow up in school. They see the red skin with the horns and, you know, this kind of thing, this kind of picture that they give you. No, this is not a sentence, you know. And again, Allah wants us to see that it's not about going out there and saying, so we don't care who started the fire. Save yourself and your families from the fire. From the fire. You see? And he said, whose fuel is men and stone. Let you know who he works through. So we don't care you start the fire. Just let us put it out. Allah is saying, put it out. Put out the fire. And in putting it out, then maybe you'll catch the one who started it. And that's how you catch Satan, because it leaves a trail. It begins to leave a trail when you begin to investigate. You put out the fire. And that's what Allah wants us to do. He wants us to put them out. If you put the fires out, and you begin to put Satan out of business. And that's what Allah wants us to do. Put him out of business. You know, put him out of business. Put out the fires of drugs, the fires of alcoholism, the fires of all these sex offenses and all these other things. The spendthrifts. There's so many other categories that it has to divert us, to intoxicate our mind, to keep us worrying about different things, plugged into the system, you know. Now, see, I saw a text somebody sent say, I know why they call it the cell phone now, because everybody behind bars with it. He said, everybody behind those bars. You're looking at them bars on the phone. Do I get a signal? You know? Connected. Keep you connected. Did you get a connection? Are you connected? So this is what Allah wants to be able to get past these things. And we have to understand that our bodies are free. And Satan knows our bodies are free. And he knows that right now the laws have changed to where he's not able to do that anymore in terms of inspired physical slavery anymore. We're not on plantations and we don't have the same kind of restricted movement that we once had as a people in this society. But what Satan has done is he has done something to create circumstances and results and put effects in that he wants to control our life. And he wants total control of our life. He's not satisfied until he gets total control of your life. And many have given it to him. because we're not conscious. Ku means also to be conscious. Ku, this is from the word taqwa, to be conscious. That's how you save your family. You have to be aware. You have to wake up. It means to wake up. Be conscious and put the shield, put the protection, have your filter, and wake up. Because that's what he wants to control your life. And that's what he has gotten by hooking you to commercialism. And we know that's the majority of the world hooked on that. Hooked on the spending. Hooked on all these devices of intoxication. Even we got, they had the attorney here in D.C. had to do a big series on sexual trafficking and sexual coercion and human trafficking. Now, because it's a big deal here in this capital city right here. Huge, serious deal. Serious deal. So he don't have to worry about the masses of the people. Well, he has them enslaved. He has them enslaved. And we can look at the people. We can look at what they're doing. So we return to what we said in the beginning, that there are many forms of slavery. Many forms of slavery. And sometimes the worst form of slavery is not the enslavement of the physical body. I know everybody saying, I ain't going back to that. You're looking at the 400 years. We're saying we ain't going back to that. We hear the noise traffic coming from, we wish they were back in chains and these kinds of things. We know that's not going to happen. That's just talk. That's not going to happen. But the enslavement of your soul. Ku and Fusikun. Save your soul and your family's soul. The enslavement of your soul, as God says, is the worst form of oppression. What I'm going to add to that, I feel like I'm going to have that. Thank you, Lord. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalam. Ala Rasulihi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this second part, as the law says, save yourselves and save your family from the fire. From the fire. He promises us that he will engage us, his servants, in a painful process of purification. And we know that one of the prophets, again, the press peace upon him, one of his charges is come to purify. He also comes to zaki him, to purify them, to purify them. So it's a painful process of purification, and that's in order to clean us, to clean us. And to clean us from what? From the sin that we're talking about. Clear us from the sin that is tearing us apart. It's all in our families. All across the country, and all we see, we can't get past it. And we know that we Allah speaks about iron and how you make it stronger, gold and these things. How you purify these things in only one way. You have to put them in the fire. And we know that purification comes from being plunged into the heart of the fire. That's the hottest part, where it's most fierce. And when you put that iron, or you put that gold in the heart of the fire, then it turns blue. And that represents spiritual. Blue represents spiritual, you know. And being kept there until that which is being purified loses any resemblance of what it once was. And we have to look at ourselves as a people in terms of what we're going to. We're new people. We don't look like. We don't sound like, we don't think like where we came from over 400 years ago. When we look at our history, we can see that Allah has taken us as a people from a minus to a plus. He has taken us from X to excellent. This is what Allah does, from zero to hero. As a people, we have to look at all of this, you know, and Allah says, in fact, we look at scripture, and we know that yesterday is the day commemorated as what we started in this country as Savior Day, and some this day was a traditional day. In scripture, those who are written off are put into oppression. You see them going through a five-step cycle. There's a five-step cycle that it just goes through scripture. And that cycle is that people end up indulging in the sin. And the sin will lead them into servitude. So now they become slaves. And while they're in that situation, they will supplicate. They will call on Allah, ask Allah to send them someone. And we see they were looking. And so Allah would send them a savior, someone who came from them, who understands them. And then he would bring them out of their condition. What got them into the condition and bring them out of the condition to help them out of the condition. And then once that happens, there's a period of silence. This is a scripture. And they say they become complacent. They've been free. And then they go right back to sinning all over again. And then the cycle. And that leads them in. The sin leads them into servitude. And again, don't think about, as we're trying to say, don't think about servitude in the physical sense. Look at these other forms. And this is what happens. But Allah has sent us many saviors. Anybody say save yourself. And we know Imam Muhammad told us to focus on February 25th, which was yesterday, not 26th. He said, which is the actual day. And he said 25th. He said 25th is 5 times 5. He said 5 times 5. He said that's your 5 senses times the 5 limbs representing the whole life. And then he said in addition to that, he said, look at 5 plus 2 is 7. And he said, that means salvation. He said, that means salvation. And we know that the 7 that's in us, we embrace that potential, that sleep in us on the level up. They have a drink called 7 up. Oh, now to speak to that 7 and that salvation. So Allah says, save yourselves and your families. So the Imam was asked a question. He said, Imam Waqtuddin Muhammad, who we're speaking about now, Rahimullah Alayhi, he said, is it saviors with apostrophe S or saviors with the apostrophe after the S? And he said, it's neither. He said, it's neither. He said, it's Savior Day. He said, we need to save ourselves first. This is what he said. And we know that we're at a time now as a people, we're very well documented, coming from the 400 years of oppression, mistreatment, etc. The key issue is the moral imperative now for us. We have been, and we have a frustrated community spirit. You know, because community life, terms of what we've gone through, and then trying to really, something in us that wants us to get back to really having community life again. And our community spirit, it needed to be, and it needs to be overhauled. These are the things he's telling us, and we know that our black spirit is exhausted. The kind of stuff we're going through right now, still saying after all this, we're still going through this stuff. I mean, it's exhausting. And the people are protesting, they're going out, and I thought it was over. We got these commemorations. 55 years ago, the march took place. We had some progress. All of a sudden, these things are being eroded. So there's an exhaustion. Our spirit was affected tremendously by the oppression and suffering that we've gone through as a people. And then to still have those kind of things and this inequity and injustice and inequality, still, they're still pressing upon us. And so Allah produces circumstances to help facilitate the overhaul here in America. And for us here, and it really is a picture for the world, because the world looks at America and what's happening and how to overcome things. So for us, and I'm saying this because this is also the last Friday in this month called Black History Month, African American History Month, to mention the honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he said, they say I am a preacher of racial hatred. The fact is, white people don't like the truth, especially if it speaks against them. I'm still quoting him. It is a terrible thing for such people to charge me with teaching race hatred when their feet are on my people's neck. This is a quote from him, way before George Floyd. Yeah, that was just a physical thing of what's been happening all along and still continues to happen. And look at what he says. And they tell us to our face that they hate black people. He said, remember now, they even teach you that you must not hate them for hating you. So we talk about Black Lives Matter, you know. We have some sensitive Black history issues. This is Black History Month. We have some sensitive Black history issues. And, of course, you know, the doctor may have to cause pain sometime to bring about some healing. And so some don't want to hear this. Some don't want to hear what we're saying now. But we know the present inherits the past. And we have an obligation of what we inherit. I mean, you can ignore what you inherit. You can mismanage it. You can overlook it, whatever. Or you can embrace it and you can build upon it. So we inherit that. Our soul is impressed. Our soul is imprinted by our history. That's on the soul. And we inherit that. That's upon us right now. And as long as the history of the Nation of Islam is not a part of Black history, we will not be successful. We're not going to succeed. If we look at what took place and where we are now, how we turn in circles, but we had the answer in the movement that we came from. In 1929, there was a meeting to develop a plan to propel the African-American soul upward to the heights of civilization. That was started in 1929. And the plan was established by W.D. Farrar. W.D. Farrar. Right? Imam Muhammad called him W.D. 40. W.D. 40. Because he was saying that he provided the oil for our community that our community needed for to get the engine to run better. And we know it started in the Motor City. There's another piece in terms of how this is how Allah left a sacred trail for us, is in the Motor City. But just to get the community's energy to run better. And we know he was talking about, even scripture was saying that he anointed my head with oil and my cup running forth. Meaning that Allah gave more than what you needed. In that movement, really was more than what we needed, because everything that we needed came out of that, which is why we're where we are now on this universal stage right now. The New York Times, on the day that Amin Elijah Muhammad passed, the day after, this is what they said. They said, you can call him rogue, but when anybody can get tens of thousands of Negroes to practice economic solidarity, respect their women, alter their diets, give up liquor, stop crime and juvenile delinquency and adultery, he is doing more for Negroes' welfare than any current leader I know. This was a quote in the New York Times the day after he passed. And we just talked about some of the things that Satan put in our way. And these things, again, we see how Allah has given us something to start the cleaning process. It's starting to clean us up. Now, also that same day, after he passed, Dr. Sierra Lincoln, the one who coined the term Black Muslims, he said this. Within a span of 30 years, the leadership of Elijah Muhammad established the largest independently owned and operated school system, the University of Islam. The largest independent newspaper, Muhammad speaks. A fish import business worth over $22 million, and a collection of small grocery stores, bakeries, sewing factories, clothing shops, and farmland, which grew food for export. No one in the history of the African-American experience has acquired such accomplishments. This is a non-Muslim speaking. Both cases, these are non-Muslim speaking. And we don't want to talk about him in Black History Month. They don't want to put him on the posters. They don't want to have his history. They don't want to have him on the panel to talk about him. They don't want to talk about him. No, we need to identify with the positive of that experience. We just read what they're saying right now is still an imperative for us. It's still an imperative for us as a people. We were denied our humanity, denied our human life. We were without a savior. And we know that the essence of his teaching was a need for community excellence. And we saw that. We responded to that, you know. And we know that making progress was defined as holding on to community life. Everything was about the community life. It was all focused on the community. And that was the driving force. Everybody began to move. Wherever you are, you were moving because you were focused on something that was about propelling us all together, the whole community. And that kept the ego in check. It kept the ego in check. And the fact that us was above the I. Look at that movement. We was above me. with the movement. In fact, Malcolm said it best. This is a quote about Malcolm. Malcolm said, when I, the letter I, is replaced by we, by the W-E, he said, even illness becomes wellness. And so now, but let's talk about Malcolm. I was on a panel about Malcolm. And again, everybody's talking about Malcolm, but again, they forget that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is one that attracted Malcolm. But they don't want to mention him. He is the one that made Malcolm popular. It's what Malcolm was preaching him. He preached the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was preaching that Elijah Muhammad was the Black Moses. That's what he was saying. That the U.S. and the white man in America was Pharaoh. These are things he was saying. And that he was a liberator. He was a liberator. We mentioned that term earlier in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. No, Malcolm, he became popular with that message. That's what made him popular. That message. He was teaching that message. And the media became interested in him because of that message. You know, before that, the media had no interest in Malcolm. In the life that was existing before that, he wasn't even have no attention. This is what we have to look at. And we also have to look at even a white publication called the Reader's Digest. It said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the most significant and most powerful Black man in America. That's what that said, a white publication. How you going to not give credit where credit is due? How you going to cut that out and not have our people focus on what was the essence of that movement? It's interesting that Blacks, particularly Blacks, African Americans, they don't acknowledge that he had a significance in the life of Malcolm. That's interesting. It's interesting because there was no Malcolm. No Malcolm excited, no Malcolm enthusiastic until he was touched by that message from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then we begin to see more. That's a fact. That's a fact. And we need to start looking at the fact. So we've seen it all this month. You know, Black leaders lifting Malcolm up over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. How are you going to lift him up over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? That's a cheat. We should be able to call it what it is. It's a lie. I'm saying, I know it's registered. This is the African American History Month. We hadn't said anything this month, but we have to say it. You know, ignoring the fact that it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad that inspired him is a cheat. It's a lie. And that's the same thing for Black historians. Those who leave them out, those who they write the history from slavery and they leave out his accomplishments. They leave out what his impact of his leadership would be today. That's a cheat too. Our people are not able to benefit from something that Allah have caused to happen. They're not able to benefit from that because it's being left out. Look, in Malcolm's own words, now this is 6 days before he was assassinated. I want you to hear his own words about this movement. 6 days before, this is what he said. The Nation of Islam was an organization that had the power, the spiritual power, to reform the criminal. And this is what you have to understand. This is Malcolm. 6 days before, as long as that strong spiritual power was in the movement, it gave the moral strength to the believer that would enable him to rise above all his negative tendencies. I know, because I went into the movement with more negative tendencies than anybody in the movement, in just faith and what I was taught, made it possible for me to stop doing anything and every negative thing that I was doing. And by this spiritual force, giving one the faith to exercise the moral discipline, it became an organization to be respected as well as feared. That's Malcolm. And we know there's some listening, and there's some done cut it off, but they don't want to hear this. Particularly Orthodox Muslims, you know, they hate us continuing to bring up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and presenting him in a favorable light. They don't like that, you know, and some tell us that, you know, they don't want us talking about Dr. Farah, they don't want us talking about Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, they said because, you know, that was bid'ah, that was off, and that's confusing, and it'll hold you back. It'll hold you back. You won't get people coming to you if you're talking about that. But we have to take the position, really, to say we don't care what the man taught. Because Elijah Muhammad, he wasn't responsible for what he taught. You have to understand that he wasn't born in Mecca. He wasn't born in Pakistan. He wasn't born in any of these Muslim countries like Egypt, Sudan, Nigeria. He was born in Chicago. I mean, in Georgia, in a Christian America. A Christian America. And he had no one to teach him Al-Islam. Nobody taught him Al-Islam, the universal Islam. He had anybody to teach him that. His father was a preacher. No one gave him a Quran until Dr. Farhad Muhammad. He came to him in the slums of Detroit and he put it in his hands. The whole Holy Quran. Didn't take anything out. Put the whole Holy Quran in his hand. This is where he starts from. And we have to understand that Allah, now this is Imam Muhammad, I'm quoting now, says Allah has favored us and you have a Bilalian head. You have a head like yours. He said, I had taken Dr. Farhad out of the sky of divinity and I put him where he belongs on the earth of human nature. Still quoting Imam Muhammad. And I've told you that he gave you nothing superior to what I give you now. Certainly, he was a wise psychologist. But if he saw me today, he would take off his hat. He would pay tribute to me. I have been able to peep his card. And not only peep his card, I've been able to peep those cards that he looked at to form his own card. Yeah, that's Imam Muhammad. So that shows how things were embedded there to help with. Now, here's a professor. I'm going to quote as I get ready to close. Professor Clark. He was asked, what is it about Islam that makes it attractive to African Americans? And this is what he said. I think Elijah's biggest legacy, biggest significance, is that he makes blackness respectable among African Americans. He kind of sells black people to themselves. He rejuvenates people's sense of pride, self-esteem, and their pride in their racial and cultural heritage. Also, the economic initiative of the Nation of Islam, largely lower class people, pulling their resources together to buy a major newspaper printing press, farmland, grocery stores, a jet, a bank, etc., created an economic model of self-help by people who had never owned or contributed to such. Also, there is a moral significance, although there were contradictions maybe in his life and behavior, the moral message of the Nation of Islam. Don't beat your wife. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't eat pork. Don't do drugs. Clean up your neighborhood. Hold a steady job. And don't get on welfare. I'm still quoting. This is a non-Muslim we're quoting right here. I think that moral message created boundaries for those who did not have and needed structure. Finally, I think the significance of the Nation of Islam is that it introduced African Americans to an alternative religious vision outside of Christianity. If Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam had never existed, I don't think Islam would be the kind of force it is in some American cities and urban areas it is today. Allahu Akbar. So making people aware of the faith of Islam, although Elijah Muhammad taught a very peculiar style of Islam, I think is very significant, unquote. That's the quote. Now, this is what people are saying. So how are we going to leave him out? How are we going to leave this out? How are we going to not be able to benefit? We should be studying this, the actions of this. And that will help us today. If Black Lives really matter, he's the one that really put the emphasis on Black Lives Matter. We should pay attention. And we know one of the main teachings of the Nation of Islam was to know yourself. He's a part of who we are, a significant part of who we are. Know yourself. Who is your own self? A righteous Muslim. That was the answer. That's what he said. And we know that's point. That, now, he was really quoting something in the Quran in Surah 30, Ayah 30. The fitra, the original pattern, which is being a righteous Muslim. Huh? Yeah. Upon the scripture. Upon the scripture. So we're not going to leave him out. We can't leave him out. We're going to continue to speak about him. If you come here, you're going to continue to hear about him. We're going to embrace it. We're going to study it. The Imam said, when he said, we're not going back to the good old days, he said, I didn't tempt you to leave the good of the old days behind. And that's what we got to look at. That was a big help for us that Allah gave. For us to ignore, we have to build institutes. We're trying to build here in D.C. And he was able to. They were saying how people brought their monies together and built. And we're going to do the same thing. We coming back into the essence of that movement, the good of those days made present, that we've inherited in the present. And we're going to move forward. Allah wants us to appreciate. Allah said, they say, hadani rabbi illa siratul mustaqim. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah says that He will guide us. Verily, surely, He will guide us. Our Lord will guide us to the straight way. He will guide us to the straight way. He said, those who strive and struggle in His cause, He say He will surely guide them to His path. And it's Sabul to tell you that that's to say that no matter where they came from, this is what Allah said. He said Sabulnah, meaning whatever path they came from, if they're on the path that leads to Him, He's gonna make sure that they come straight to Him. Sabulnah. And those who strive in the cause, we will definitely guide them to our paths. So we've been guided. We've been guided through the Quran. And Allah wants us to appreciate all the paths and to make none of them more important, but to appreciate all the paths. This is one of the paths. And we're not going to be disrespected. We're not going to allow disrespect about the way we came. We got to embrace it ourselves first. You have to know yourself and embrace yourself. So we're going to allow other people to benefit from this. So, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. وَكِنَا أَبَابِ النَّارِ رَبِّنَا لَا تَزُغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ.
Okay, brothers and sisters.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
All right, brothers and sisters, you just heard a recording by our Imam Talib Shari, and of course our title this evening was The Enslavement of Your Minds. We're going to open our mics up. We have a few more moments. I'm going to have our co-host to give the greetings, and hopefully everybody else can get a chance to, until we're off the air. But Brother Aziz, good evening. I welcome your comments. We got about 2 minutes.
Greetings, and assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal. Very good selection. Enjoyed it thoroughly, and all I can say is, wow.
Yes,
excellent. Excellent.
Yes, well, again, we will be back to continue our regular network marketing and business identification, but being that this is Black History Month, of course, we wanted to share comments. We still got a few more moments. I think we got Oklahoma on the line. I will give them the greetings of greetings, Oklahoma, and all of those out in that area.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Waalaikumsalam. Yes, and hope the show was informative, and we're going to continue with our network marketing business identification. Next week, and we look forward to all of the.
We need an instant replay of that message.
Okay, excellent.
that was very nice.
Well, the Imam is going to be working directly with us from here on in, so you're going to be hearing from some serious presenters and folks folks who are going to be able to take us to where we want to go. We have some very important African Americans showing up with us. So until next week, this time, we're saying peace will ever to everyone, and
I turn my head, you're all I see, to look in your direction. time. And it appears that you're paying no attention. But soon as I walk away, I can feel your eyes all over me. Your eyes tell me something's going on. I catch your glance, I catch your smile. I don't wanna be fooled by self-deception, thinking that this is love. I've been there before, don't wanna go back to heartache and pain. I know where it's at. I'm giving to you, I'm being fair. What you're giving to me, giving the love that I had to someone special. God, it might be you. If you're deserving, able to share, we together anywhere, I don't care. Giving to you, girl. What you're giving to me. Time I close my eyes.